Welcome to Career Tools. This week, bad career advice. You should start a blog. Here we go. So Wendy, you and I are famous for exchanging emails about stupid things that you can find on the internet, even though it's technically true because it's on the internet, it may also be stupid. It's true that someone thinks that they're smart about careers when in fact that they're not. And one of the memes, one of the things is that with the advent of social media and elevating one's cred, one's perception, one's brand, you should start a blog and you can get known personally and professionally. But we don't agree. And it's not true for the vast majority of people. And there's some downsides, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, our personal brands is one of those things I can get up on a soapbox about. So I won't. But this is part of that whole personal brand thing.
Yeah, but let's be clear. There is a helpful side to the personal brand thing, which is, hey, don't just assume that your company is managing your career. Think about who you are, what you want to be known for, and move in that direction. And as long as your personal brand starts with results, you know, that's great. But yeah, it is a gross oversimplification, and it is Career Tools that is left to clean up the mess. Okay, so what's our outline for today?
Okay, so we're going to talk about don't start a blog to prove your expertise. Don't start a blog and expect to be discovered. And don't start a blog and expect to be good.
All three, don't start a blog.
Don't start a blog, yeah. So once you've worked your way through these and you're convinced you still want to start a blog, that's fine. But just we're going to give you some alternate ways of looking at it before you go ahead and do it.
Look, guys, we often say about manager tools and career tools, our guidance is for 90% of the people, 90% of the time. There are some of you that starting a blog may actually be a good thing. The vast majority of people who are hearing my voice right now should never start a blog in order to increase their personal brand. They just should not. And this is often why we are seen as being somewhat out of sync with the mainstream guidance. Keep in mind, mainstream guidance that you are reading on blogs or in papers or on TV are designed to sell advertising. And so therefore, they're going to be dramatic. And they're going to take a small case and turn it into a big deal. They're going to make a large statement from a single bit of guidance. It's the old saying of a reminder that the plural of anecdote is not data. And CEOs don't kill people, but actually they do on TV because one did one time. And so therefore they can make a whole bunch of stories about that and people will watch that because it's dramatic. So, okay, you're saying don't start a blog to prove your expertise.
Yeah. And many of the people that say, hey, start a blog, it'll prove your expertise. So when people go and look you up on the internet, they'll see this wonderful blog that shows how smart you are about whatever subject you're writing about. And it's true, if you write fluently and knowledgeably about your profession, and if HR or a hiring manager finds your blog. And there's two ifs in that sentence. But the problem is not just the ifs, it's also that being able to write about something doesn't prove your expertise. I can write about project management, but nobody listening to this who's read anything or listened to me talk about project management actually knows if I can deliver a project on time and on budget and in scope. Because the writing of it and the talking about it doesn't prove it.
Right.
And that's why we get cross at academia. Because I can write about management and academics write about management, but they've never actually been managers. They've only ever worked in academia. And so that's why we get cross with them, because they don't have the experience that they're talking about. And just being able to write or talk about something doesn't prove that you can do it. And a blog doesn't prove you have expertise. It proves that you can write.
Right. And a blog that's popular proves you can write in a way that draws people in, but there is writing to complain about things. There's writing that's funny. There's all kinds of things. There's dramatic writing that may or may not be true. Again, expanding from a small incident into a large statement. I think you just sent me something recently about some freelancer writing and complaining about something. And I listened to it and I thought, yeah, I know. I'm not impressed. I don't like you. I suspect other freelancers liked it. He may be, in fact, improving his brand among his community. He didn't help himself with me at all. And it was his blog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good point. Blogs don't prove expertise. They prove you can write. And more importantly, I think a lot of people that are in the middle of their skill level, if you're writing for other, let's say, project managers, to use your example, and you're in the middle, the people who have very successful blogs are really good at what they do, and they're really good writers. That means there's 5 or 10% of the people in your community that ought to be doing that. And there's nothing wrong with being in the top 5% performers, but not being a writer. Or, for that matter, you mentioned that it proves you can write. It also, in many cases, proves you have the discipline to write on a regular basis, which many people think they can do and then discover that writing a blog post every week is a lot harder than people realize. Journalists will tell you that, that's for sure. Okay, so the next point you're making is that, don't start a blog and expect to be discovered. I assume meaning that the point of the brand you people, which, by the way, I think started with Tom Peters, the brand you people say, the blog will elevate you, and in the world of LinkedIn and so on, that hypothetically will give a recruiter more information for you. But it implies that you will be discovered.
Yeah, it's like as if this blog sends out a beacon, and it sends out a signal to all these people saying, hey, there's a great person over here, hire them. And it doesn't, because the size of the internet versus a single blog is, really? The signal doesn't go very far. It doesn't reach very many people. It probably doesn't reach the people you would like it to reach. And so you would have better luck reaching the people you want to talk to and building a personal relationship with them. Hey, if you're in a city and you know which company you want to work for, and you know what profession you want to be in, and you join one of the professional groups, then you have a direct interaction with the people that you want to work for or work with. Just putting this signal out and hoping that somebody hears it is just a waste of energy to some extent. And if you think about the requests you get on LinkedIn, especially from recruiters, they seem to be completely oblivious to what you're doing, where you are, what you want to do. I often get them saying, would you like to do this part-time job in London? I'm like, well, I've never worked part-time and I don't live in London anymore. So the reason I get those is because the recruiters are using LinkedIn as like the highest leverage tool they have. It's just they throw out this huge net, and I fall into that net because I once was a recruiter and I once lived in London. And then they just send a note out to all of those people. They're then not looking for the special fishes with the special colorings, or, you know, that can hold their breath for longest. They're not looking for the special person who has this great blog. They're just looking for volume at that point, because that's what hiring is about. You want volume at the top so that you do find the special fish eventually, but they don't go searching for a special fish. That would be a waste of time for a recruiter.
You know, one of the things that I think people misunderstand is the whole technology for how your blog might get discovered. And I just think too many people say, oh, there's magically thousands of people that I want to know me who have the right search words set up so that magically it'll happen. And I think if you start studying it, you'll realize, boy, I'm a drop in the ocean. I'm a grain of sand.
Yeah, for sure. And it used to be that people used to say comment on the popular blogs. And now if you look at the popular blogs, you know, 10 years ago, that might have been useful. You and I got to know Manager Tools because I started writing on the forums just when you got forums, and there were like 50 people on there. But if you look at the popular blogs now, there's thousands of comments, and yours doesn't stand out. And you know, if there's 1,000 comments, there's 20 super smart people. And even 20 is probably too many for a blogger or an HR person to go follow that person all the way through to their blog and then read posts on their blogs and think, oh, this is a smart person, but oh, they're very smart, but they don't seem to have come to anybody else's attention.
Right. My general feeling is starting a blog with the idea of being discovered is the math simply does not support it. And I'd actually recommend if you want to be discovered, the answer is deliver results, improve your relationships, get promoted, and have recruiters start calling you. Because if in fact you're not doing this just for publicity, just to be famous, then what's the end game? Is the game to get a better job? Well, okay. The answer to that is knowing the right people, some of which are recruiters and some of which are other hiring managers. I would say that, like you alluded to it, professional associations in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So your family doesn't have to move. Yeah. And all you have to do then is work. Exactly. You don't have to start writing, particularly if you're not a writer.
It's like all the actors that go to LA and they move to LA with no money and they end up being waiters. If you read the people that went out to LA with no money and that were then successful, it was because they went to classes and they went to auditions every day and they talked to everybody they met and they really worked at getting jobs, and the more jobs they got and they turned up and they were professional and they did what they were supposed to do and they were good actors, and that's how they became famous. It's not magic. You don't just have, it's not just being in the right place.
Yeah.
There's work to do as well. And your blog is the equivalent of just being one actor in LA and being in the right place, but not doing anything else.
Right. Good. Okay. And the last point you made was don't start a blog and actually expect to be good at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This is the harsh one, I have to say.
Because
everybody knows they can write.
Yeah.
When someone else writes, guys, you're reading them and you're passively experiencing their writing process. And so you think, I read that, so therefore I can write it. It's enormously different. It's like watching a professor do a math problem on the board. I remember this in one of my engineering classes. You could watch him and go, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Everything makes sense. Then I had to do it myself. I'm like, yeah, okay. It's a little harder than I realized. The experience is very different. Well, for the record, guys, Wendy and I joke that writing is no fun. Now, part of the reason our podcasts, we think they're good is because we write them beforehand. Not every word, not every joke, not what I'm saying right this minute, but it's all written. We write an ebook, each of us, each week, that frankly is, for those of you who are not licensees, is available for sale. I think it, what is it, $9.95, Wendy? These show notes? If you want these show notes to distribute to somebody, it's $9.95 for your personal written copy. But we often joke about writing because we have to do a lot of it in order to produce high quality audio content. In fact, we write. We think of ourselves as writer, not audio presenters. We joke that no, writing's terrible. The best part of writing is finishing. It's a bit like writing is like hitting yourself on the hammer. It feels good to stop.
Yeah, writing is no fun. Having written is fun.
Wonderful.
And there's thousands of quotes out there from various writers. Everybody has said that at one stage or another.
Yeah, and the other one that I love is, you want to know about my inspiration? Yeah, I have inspiration every morning when I sit down to write at 9 in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you actually said the other if. There were two ifs. One was if you write fluently, then knowledgeably, right? And that's what we're getting at here.
Yeah. And a lot of people who think they can write can't write.
Well, okay. But to be clear, let's use real clarity here. We're not saying you can't write. We know you can write a grammatically correct sentence. But when we say that guy can write, it means he's an exceptionally good communicator in writing.
Yeah.
That it's trenchant, it's crisp, it's brief. And by the way, the longer you get, the worse it is. Of course, writing. What's that great line by Blaise Pascal? I would have written you a shorter letter had I more time.
Yeah. So there's the people who think they can write but really can't write well in terms of long pieces with coherence and an argument that goes through it. And then there's the people who can do that but are average at it. I mean, I get an email at least once a week from someone saying there's a grammatical error in the newsletter or in MSG or in show notes because I'm an okay writer, but I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And a lot of people say to you and I that we need editors, which is probably true, but we don't have time and we don't have, you know, resources, so you'll just have to put up with it. But when you create a blog, you are trusting that your writing is as good as you think it is. And there are many people with blogs out there who have editors. And editors make a really big difference to the kind of writing that you see in newspapers or in books, which is the standard that people are going to hold you to, because that's what they see.
Yeah. Guys, if you ever expect me to have an editor, hold your breath. It's never going to happen.
Not me either. Yeah, I couldn't be edited. And then there's the piece about people who have opinions and arguments that don't make sense, that expose their short-term thinking or their limited thinking or their limited knowledge. And we've all read stuff where we've thought, this person's crazy, or this person clearly doesn't know that, you know, it's not done this way apart from in their very small niche, or, you know, they can't think outside of the little box that they're in. And you might think that you're not that person, but some of those people think they're not that person too. So you've got to be pretty sure that you can think more widely and argue more coherently than most of the people, because you're exposing yourself. And it's just as likely that a blog will harm you because of all those things that you can't write and you can't argue and you're not coherent, yeah, and all those things.
And you say things that are interesting to other people, but aren't considered professional or aren't considered done in proper society.
That too.
Yeah. And you may, in fact, make something turn really viral that causes every recruiter to say, well, he's right, but I certainly can't hire him. I certainly can't turn to him. I can't mention him as an associate of mine because he said something that might be true, but we don't say that in the politically correct world or the professionally correct world.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, there's the people that are knowledgeable, but they show that they're not expert by what they say, or they rise to the comments, which is much harder than you think not to rise to comments that attack you.
Yeah. I'll also say something else. There's the whole starting of the thing. I know so many people who said they're starting a blog and they say, well, I'm still trying to figure out which blog service to use, WordPress or something else. There are others, I don't know. And they say, well, I'm still working on the format. I can't really decide on what the design is. Unless you wake up in the morning and feel an itch in your fingertips to share something powerful, but in a way that's palatable to people, and you would rather it go handwritten on a piece of cardboard than it not be written at all. Unless you get up and say, I want to put something into my blog right now, and I don't care how it looks or anything else, and I don't care whether anybody reads it, then you're going to waste your time. The number of people who says, well, I've got a plan, and it's going to take me a month to get ready to write. Jeez, no. If you're starting a blog, it has to be a gigantic, pus-filled thing that you have to get rid of. You have to say, I've got to lance this boil. I have to talk about this. Right? And then spending a month figuring out how to make it pretty, that's not what good blog people do.
All good business people, right? There's places that don't look great, but they have great service, or the person's really helpful, and you go there every time because that's what you're looking for.
The real true entrepreneurs that matter in the world are not the ones who want to get rich by getting VC money and going public and making $1 billion. They have a burning desire to serve someone, to help someone. You don't prove you desire to help somebody by worrying about the design of your blog.
One of the things they tell you when you start a PhD is, because you have to write about the same subject or study the same subject for 7 years, is be really, really sure that you can think about this subject for 7 years and not get bored. Because a lot of people have, you know, a year's worth of something to say, but the second year starts to be really hard. And then you can see it in the writing that it's hard. And then, you know, the weekly drops off to monthly, and then every other blog starts with, I'm sorry, I've been gone.
Yes.
And at that point,
yep, all done.
It's worse for you than have never started at all.
Yeah. Okay, good. So sum up for us.
So we talked about not starting a blog for proving your expertise, not starting a blog and expecting to be discovered, and not starting a blog and expecting to be good. And if you really want to start a blog just to boost your career, don't do it. Work your network, get relationships.
Yeah, it's relatively low leverage. It has high output in 0.1% of all the cases. But if you really want to do it and you understand it's not going to get you much, okay. And heck, we'll read it, right? I mean, we would.
Yeah.
But do it for the right reasons. And if it turns out boosting your career, great. But that's not the reason to do it. Never.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Classic example of our reminder that this is what we tell our friends when everybody else is telling you, yeah, you should totally do that. Really? No. See you next week.